Howdy and welcome to the 10-Week Bible Podcast. This is Week 7, Day 3. I'm your host, Darren Hibbs, and today we're talking about John 13, 31 through 38. You can find show notes at 10weekbible.com/John Week 7. Thanks for joining me today on the 10-Week Bible Podcast. I encourage all my listeners to read the book of John once a week for 10 weeks as we go through this. You really will be amazed at the benefits of repetition. Let's go ahead and pray before we start today. Lord, I ask that you would open our eyes and our ears. Let us see and hear what you're speaking to us in this passage of your word today. Give us revelation on our hearts to know you more and understand you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. With that, let's jump into the book of John. I'll be reading today from the NIV. This is John 13, 31. When he was gone, Jesus said, "Now the Son of Man is glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will glorify the Son in himself, and will glorify him at once. My children, I will be with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and just as I told the Jews, so I tell you now, where I am going, you cannot come. A new command I give you. Love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." Now, I find this commandment interesting. Jesus is telling them, hey, I'm about to go away and you can't come with me right now. But then he gives them this command. And he calls it a new command. And that's what I find very intriguing about this. I mean, there's no shortage of places in the Bible, Old Testament, New Testament, anywhere, where God commands us to love one another. I mean, you know, I know that Jesus said, you've heard it said, to love your neighbors and hate your enemies. But even throughout the Old Testament, Jesus, you know, over and over, God over and over tells us to, you know, love those around us. I mean, he wanted us to look out for the aliens. He wanted us to look out for the brokenhearted and the poor. There's nothing in Scripture that would give us some idea that this is some kind of new commandment. He's always wanted us to love the ones around us, to love one another. So why is Jesus calling this a new commandment? Why is he telling this is a new command? What is it about what he's saying that makes it new? That's what's intriguing. And I think that's what's worthy of stopping and pausing right here and asking the Holy Spirit, in what way is this new? What is it that's different about this than what I've understood in the past or what I'm doing now? How can this change me? How can this change what I do? How can this change how I love people? I think the answer will come a little bit later. But in chapter 14, Jesus is going to tell us that he wants us to love others as he's loved us. And when I think about that, and again, this is in chapter 14, we're going to get to it tomorrow. But when I think about this, it causes me almost a breakdown. Because how can I love others in the same measure, in the same way that Jesus loved me? When I really stop and think about the weight and the significance of Jesus' love for me. I mean, I was a rebellious sinner, worthy, fully deserving condemnation, eternal punishment in hell for my rebellion against God, fully deserving it. And yet Jesus' blood on the cross rescues me from that. It gives me freedom and life forever. I will have eternal life in the presence of God himself, seeing him face to face, enjoying his pleasure and all of the good things he has for eternity. Because I said yes to Jesus' love for me. How can I match that for others? That's impossible. I don't know about you, but I struggle to love people I enjoy people's company. Don't get me wrong. I love spending time with people. I love being around people. But when you get right down to it, when you really drill into your own heart, there's people out there that are tough to love. There's people out there that, even the ones close to us, sometimes it's tough to love them. And I realize in my own heart, I don't have the capacity to love even the ones closest to me, whom I genuinely love myself. I don't have the capacity to love them like Jesus loves me. I don't have it. So this commandment to love one another, I don't fully understand it, but I know that when he's saying it's a new command, it's something that we can't do without the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's where the power of John 14 is going to come in, is he's not going to force us to love one another like he loved us without the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's the game changer. But that's for the next couple of days. We'll be talking about that. Let's jump back into the passage in verse 36. Simon Peter asked him, "Lord, where are you going?" Jesus replied, "Where I am going, you cannot follow, but you will follow later." Peter asked, "Lord, why can't I follow you now? I will lay down my life for you." Then Jesus answered, "Will you really lay down your life for me? Very truly I tell you, before the rooster crows, you will disown me 3 times. I can't imagine throughout the rest of Peter's life how often he would have woken up in a cold sweat remembering those words, especially over the next few weeks. These words must have rung in Peter's ear. If we've read the Bible, if we've read the New Testament, the Gospels, we know what's going to happen. We know that Peter, right on cue, is going to deny Jesus. He's going to disown him 3 times. He's even going to cuss at a little girl to prove how much he doesn't know Jesus, or how little he cares about Jesus in that moment. This is, I think, very interesting. John here, and we've talked about it before, is John is sharing a lot of Peter's story. And he shares the good and the bad and the ugly of Peter's story. He shares some funny things about Peter. I think he kind of pokes at him. But John really makes Peter, Jesus is obviously the central person of the book of John, but John really does hone in on Peter quite a bit. He kind of picks on him in a good and a bad way. And that's because, I mean, he already knows when he's writing this, Peter is pretty much the unquestioned leader of the apostles. He's the leader of the church. And Jesus set that up this way. And so John is pointing out who Peter really is, not to discredit Peter, but to show him that if this is the person that Jesus chose to lead his church after he was gone, oh my gosh, the amount of grace available to every one of us, it's unthinkable. If this is who Jesus chose to lead the church, you and I are in good company. And so this moment where Peter is going to betray Jesus, I'm sure, knowing that everyone knows this story, it must have been something of a burden on Peter's heart. But oh my gosh, the joy and the freedom to know that not only were sins forgiven, but this is forgiven too. And this brings us to kind of the paradox for today, is we're juxtaposing Judas and Peter here. What they're doing is, at least on the surface, it seems virtually the same. I mean, we're going to find out soon that, I mean, Peter literally is going to deny that he ever knew Jesus. He's not his follower. And he's going to shout curses at a girl who questions him. I mean, this has got to be, again, painful for him to have thought about in the weeks that followed. But on the surface, there's not a lot different. I mean, Judas's was cold and calculating, his betrayal that we're going to read about. Peter's was in the heat of passion and spur of the moment, But both of them have betrayed Jesus. But yet there's something very different, and that's this paradox, is how is Peter's denial different from Judas's betrayal? Why is Judas forever the name of the bad guy, and Peter becomes the guy in every Hallmark card that's standing at the pearly gates of heaven? How did that happen? What is different about these two men's actions and reactions that makes this so different? And I encourage you, meditate on that and ponder that. Because one man, Jesus said it would have been better if he'd never been born. And the other man, he gives him charge of the church that he established. That's a huge difference. And on the surface, it doesn't look very different. But at the heart level, on the inside, that's what matters. And as we go through the rest of the book, we're going to see why that matters. And we're going to see this three times. Jesus picks the three times very specifically. And he's going to follow that up with something very specific three times in the last chapter of the book that's very important for us to understand. I think it's powerful. I think it's beautiful. And it's something that we really need to read and pray over and wrestle with. Take it to the Holy Spirit and ask him, in what ways and what things has he given us freedom and grace from? Oh, I encourage you, just bask in the forgiveness and grace and glory of Jesus that he's given you. That's it for today. Thanks for joining me for the 10-week Bible study.